Amen. Praise the Lord for that message and song tonight. What a blessing that was. If you have your Bibles with you, if you look with me to the book of 1 Kings and chapter 17. 1 Kings chapter 17. Wednesday nights we've been in a study on the life of Elijah, one of the heroes of the faith, just a tremendous servant of God's. God used him in the Old Testament, and God has used him in the New Testament, and God will use him, I believe, during the tribulation period. And he's just a tremendous servant of the Lord found throughout the Scriptures in references. And it's just a blessing to be able to have this study. Now, we've studied already things that God has said about Elijah in the New Testament, and we've been in this series, and First Kings chapter 17 is the first mention of Elijah in the Scriptures. And I think it's taken us a couple months just to get past verse 1. But we've been looking at all the other references in the Scriptures concerning that. And then last week, we found that God's next assignment for Elijah would be not as exciting as his first. At first assignment that he has, he comes on the scene and he goes and he stands before King Ahab, that was the king of Israel. And Israel at this particular time was a mighty presence, a mighty force. And he stands before Ahab and pronounces God's judgment upon Israel. And of course, Ahab had already been leading the people to follow after Baal. They had, with Jezebel, she had been having the prophets of God killed and imprisoned. And I mean, the whole state of Israel, you know, were starting to turn. And there were more people in Israel worshiping Baal than wanted to acknowledge Jehovah God. And it was a very difficult time in the nation of Israel. And God has a man, and he sends Elijah, and he has patience, but his long-suffering only goes so far. And now he is pronouncing judgment upon Israel. And so Elijah gets to be the one. Elijah gets to be God's messenger to go before King Ahab and present this message, and in a bold way, in a powerful way. And you think, praise God, he's going to continue and do some other great things. And he will. But the next assignment would be found in verse 3 when the Bible says, get thee hence and turn thee eastward and hide thyself by the brook Cherith. And so talk about a mountaintop experience, and now he's got to come off the mountain. And he's got to go in hiding for the next 3 years or so. And that is not exactly what you want to do once you hit the mountaintop. You want to just jump from one mountaintop to another mountaintop and be mightily used of God and all the different things. But that was not God's plan. God's plan, his next assignment would be for him to be patient and go and hide thyself at Cherith. This would be God's will at this time for Elijah. And there would be no better place for Elijah to be than at Cherith, if that's where God wanted him. Last week, we seen the idea of this, and then our service to God no doubt makes us a target for our adversary. And when you're serving God, then you are a target for our adversary, we know, which is the devil himself, to try to hinder you from doing whatever God would have you to do. And so when you commit to serving God, listen to me, you are a spiritual target. And you have to be aware of that. Now, we're not ignorant of that. God has told us everything about our adversary that we need to know. First of all, it's not man. Okay? Now, the devil might work through people, but people are not the enemy. The enemy is a spiritual battle. It's with the devil himself. And we're not ignorant of Satan's devices, and we learn what the Bible says about Satan and how he'll come at us with temptations and fiery darts and all kinds of different things. And so we have to be prepared for the adversary. If you're going to be in the service of God, you have to be prepared, and you have to be on constant watch and on guard, because you're a target. And if you want to be the spiritual father that God wants you to be, you're a target. If you want to be the spiritual mother and wife that God wants you to be, you're a target. And Satan does not want that. He wants to hinder you. If you want to be the faithful church member that God wants you to be, you're a target. and Satan won. So we've kind of looked at these things and understanding that in leading Elijah to Cherith, it was God's protection for his servant, Elijah. Protection and provisions are found in positioning ourselves in God's will. And the brook of Cherith was God's promise, as we have Romans 8:28. For all things work together for good. What a great promise. But then who is he promising that to? To those who love God. If you love God, you'll be living for the Lord. And you'll be doing according to his purpose. And you'll be looking to God for his will for our lives. And so we found that we studied that. Okay, so that's what brought us up to where we're at tonight. And so if you'll stand with me, we're going to be reading. And we'll go back and pick up on verse 2. We'll be studying mainly verse 5 through 7 tonight. That's tonight's message, is so he went. And so he went as far as obeying the message that God had given to him for his next assignment. And so 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 2, "And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee." This provision, look right here. I love this. I've got it underlined in my Bible. You ought to possibly take note of it. There. Because there is exactly where God had him. And that's what was important for God's provisions and protection against the adversary. And we have to make sure of that. And verse 5 it says, "So he went and did according unto the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan, and the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land." And so let's pray. Father, we do bow before you and we thank you, Lord, for the precious word of God, and you have revealed it to us. And what a blessing it is to study, to learn more about your word and your ways. And I just pray tonight, God, that we would focus on that and look at this life of Elijah and make personal application to your will for our lives as well. For this we ask in Jesus' name, amen and amen. So there's been a lot already. Praise the Lord for what we've already gained from the study on the life of Elijah. But tonight as we look here, again, really verse 5, so the Bible says, "So he went, and he went and did according unto the word of the Lord." That's most important, that as we even looked at Sunday. We're not looking to please man. Sunday night, we're looking to please God. God is the most important person in our lives, and he's the one. Because if God before you, then who can be against you? That means it doesn't matter. But I got to know that I am. God is for me, and God is for those that are looking to be within his will, whatever that might be. And so he went, the Bible says. When we see, as we study the life of Elijah, and here tonight, what we're really going to be looking at is when we see how God would protect and provide for Elijah, and at the same time, judge Israel. Now, he is doing this simultaneously. He says to Elijah, "Go tell Ahab, I'm judging Israel." But at the same time that he's judging Israel, he's working to protect his servant. And so that's going on simultaneously here as we look at this. So God's judgments would begin in judging Israel, would begin with the very same step he would take in protecting Elijah. By this one move, it would bring judgment as well as protection. And God, it's just amazing how God works, but God would remove Elijah. This powerful preacher of God, this powerful influence, this powerful man of God that was able to present truth to Ahab and to anyone in Israel that would listen. He had the truth. They were being blinded by Jezebel. They were being blinded by the worship of Baal. They were being blinded to the direction they were going. And the hope that they had in understanding truth and making decisions that would bring God's blessings upon their life laid within the one that had the words of God. And that's the prophets of God. But they are the ones that they were killing. And if left, they would have, if not Ahab, Jezebel would have had, as we study her and we'll get into how her actions and her desire to rid Israel of all of the worship of Jehovah and replace the worship of Jehovah with Baal worship, which was the most ungodly way to somewhat worship, and they was worshiping a devil instead of a god. And all that, it will get into that as we get farther and we start looking at what Jezebel was doing. But if Jezebel would have had her way after hearing how Elijah spoke to Ahab, she would not have allowed him out of Ahab's presence. She would have had him killed right then and there, because that's what she had been doing. She had been killing those that would stand for Jehovah, and there would be any opposition to the direction that she wanted to take Israel in worshiping Baal. Now, we all understand that as we studied already some of that, but this is what's going on. So God would remove Elijah, and by removing Elijah begin the judgment, not only with the drought, but they would not experience the effects of the drought for a little while, but they would have Elijah removed. That means they would be void of the truth in Israel. Hiding out in Cherith would protect Elijah. Amen. Praise the Lord for that. Yes, protection is, but also a part of what God was doing in judging Israel. Proverbs chapter 29. I want you to look there with me. Proverbs chapter 29. See, whether man knows it or not, when God stops speaking to you, when God stops convicting your heart, when God stops revealing truth, is judgment. It's the beginning of judgment, because now you are blinded to truth. Proverbs in chapter 29 and verse 18 says this: where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. Now we know that most of the Proverbs are antithetical statements. That means that each proverb will stand alone and it will hit the same truth in both directions to help us understand that. This idea of no vision is no preaching of the Word of God. When the vision was the Word of God being presented to the people, and we know that because the second half of that, but he that keepeth the law. So it means when there is no law being revealed, where there is no vision, when the Word of God is not being preached, and the will of God is not being made aware, and the Word of God is not there, then people perish. Because they're without the protection of God upon them. They're without the help that God wants to offer them. And without the help of God, we are no match for the adversary, which is the devil. And we find that the Bible says the devil, it comes to kill and steal and destroy. If left to himself without any kind of limitations, he will kill and steal and destroy humanity, society, godliness. When left to himself, the only things that is able to overcome him is the Word of God. Right. is the truth that God reveals to us. And as we yield to truth, then we have what we have need of to defeat the devil. Because when we submit ourselves to God, then because of God's truths, we know how we need to live. We know what we need to do. And as we submit ourselves to the will of God, then we can resist the devil because we understand it to be wrong. We understand it to be a lifestyle that will lead to death, because the end result of sin is death. And so when we yield to God, we have the ammunition, we have the information, we have the knowledge to turn away from that is going to destroy our lives. And when we turn away from that which will destroy our lives, then we can have abundant life. Amen. Amen. So that's what the Bible says, where there is no vision, the people perish, because they have not the truths. Even though they might think they have the truths, they think they're wise and they become fools. So the Bible says, when there's no vision, the people perish. And then he says, let me help you understand what that means. He says, but he that keepeth the law, if you have the vision, if you have the word of God, then you can apply the things to your life, and happy is he. Content is he. Fulfilled is he. Protected is he. Provided for is he. And all these could go along with that. Everything that God wants to give us is there. But without the knowledge of God and without the vision, the preaching of the word of God, then people will not understand the truth. And ultimately, and it's a matter of time, but it's going in that direction, destruction. Destruction. Perish. Wow. So without Elijah, next 3 years, there would be no warnings. Next 3 years, there would be no convictions. Next 3 years, there'd be no restraints to how far they would go in their Baal worship, and how far away from God they would get, far away from the vision of God, the words of God. Psalms helps us there as well. Psalms chapter 74, it reveals some of the very same. This is a psalm that God wanted the people of Israel to sing and to realize this as being truth. In Psalms chapter 74 and verse 7, the Bible says in verse 7, they have cast fire into thy sanctuary. They have defiled by casting down the dwelling place of thy name to the ground. Wildfire that we talked about even on Sunday. It wasn't fire from God. They wanted to do it their way. And they'd cast that into the sanctuary. And they'd cast down the name of God and his will on the ground. They said in their hearts, let us destroy them together. Let's all agree on this and let's destroy it. They have burned up all the synagogues of God in the land. That identifies what Israel was doing underneath the leadership of Ahab and Jezebel. We see not our signs. There is no more any prophet. Neither is there among us anything that knoweth how long. Because God knows the future and God tells you how long. God tells you everything you need to know about past, present, and future. Amen. So we find here in the book of Psalms, we find here in the book of Proverbs, helps us to understand what was taking place when God took Elijah off the scene. It was to protect Elijah because they would have killed him, but at the same time, it was the judgment of God. When he removes the visions of God, when he removes the truths from the land and lets the people do whatever they want to do, when a person rejects God's light, they open themselves up to even greater darkness. That's what happens. Brings Romans chapter 1 back in place. And Romans in chapter 1, go back there, and very familiar with this, but it's so powerful of a truth that we need to be aware of when we turn away from God. The Bible says in verse 24, wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. Can I tell you, that which is antichrist will always lead to sexual activity as well, ungodly, immorality. And that's exactly where Israel was with Baal worship. It was the most ungodly, unholy type of lifestyle that you could think of. And the Bible says, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the creator. They thought more about man's philosophies than they did God's word. Who is blessed forever, and that's the creator, that's truth. For this cause God gave them up. God removes his messengers and he removes his conviction. God turns you over. He gives up. He said he gave them up into vile affections, letting them do what they wanted to do. For even their women did change the natural use unto that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, that's where it came from. They did not like to retain God and God's word and God's ways in their own hearts and minds. Because they did not want to, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Powerful truth. Powerful truth. And that's what's taken place in Israel with Elijah. Wasn't that long ago, I got a call from one of our young men that came through the church here in the youth department, and some of you might have know Kenny Jones, and some of you here was actually in the youth department possibly with him, and he had went to Bible college, and it was pastoring a Baptist church, and he called me, and he said, "Preacher, I just want to see some counsel on what you would have, how you would counsel me on what I was to do." He says, "My deacons came to me and told me that they didn't want me preaching out of the King James Bible anymore. The deacons come to me and said that they had talked to the congregation. They don't want to have you preaching on sin anymore." He said, "Pastor," says, "it's all I know. What should I do?" And I said, "You continue to preach the truth. You're there to serve God. You're not there to serve man." To make a long story short, they got rid of him. They fired him, and along about the way, and just the way that they did it was ungodly. But as they did, he ended up leaving that church, and God opened the door to another church. And the door that he opened up to the church that he went to, he called me after that, all that had gone on, and he said, "Pastor, what a blessing it is that God has planted me in this church, and the people come up to me and thank me for my stand on the King James Bible. Our people come up and thank me for standing and preaching the truth from the Word of God." He said, I'm so thankful that I just obeyed God and did what God wanted me to do, and this is where God's planted me. And today, you see, that church is flourishing. That church has grown, and they're in building projects, and he's actually got staff on board right now. And it's a tremendous blessing. And the church that did not want him to preach the Word of God, they're real close to closing that down. They lost the hand of God upon the ministry. And there was Ichabod written over the door spiritually. What they thought they wanted and what they thought would cause them to grow and draw in a different crowd is exactly what Satan used to destroy it. Amen. We want God's blessings. You have to make sure that you're following God's word and you're doing what God would have us to do. Praise the Lord for that. Well, go back with me to our text. Go back there. 1 Kings chapter 17. God would judge the land but provide for Elijah. As long as Elijah was there, out of the area that God was judging. The Bible says, and he it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. God used the supernatural means to provide food for Elijah. In verse 6, he said, and the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening. He drank of the brook. God used supernatural means. As the drought took away the food supply for Israel, God used some ravens to provide food for Elijah. You see, if you remember back in Exodus, God's plans for getting his children, the Hebrews, out of the Egyptian bondage was the judgment of God. And God would judge the Egyptians, but at the same time put a protection over the land that the Hebrews were living in. And everybody could see that, the Egyptians and the Hebrews, to realize that God was who he said he was. Can I tell you, if necessary, God can supernaturally use even an unclean bird. To do his bidding. See, a raven was an unclean bird. So he couldn't just fly and say, here, eat me. No, but he could be used to supernaturally go get food that Elijah could eat and bread that Elijah could eat. It's unnatural for a raven to give anyone else food. You understand that? It was not natural for a raven to see a human being and say, well, I'm just going to take him under wing and I'm going to feed him. No, it was God working. Why would God choose a raven? The last animal, the last thing that anybody would think of concerning God providing for Elijah. The last thing that Elijah would have ever thought of, that God would use a raven, an unclean bird. Can I tell you that God can use whatever source that he determines to use? He wanted him to know that I'm taking care of you. You're where I want you to be, and I can use whatever means I choose to provide for you. What a blessing. God can use whatever source. I remember when I was dating my wife and we were both involved in the Jet Cadets, a youth program on a Saturday. I talked her into skipping our ministry on Saturday and talked her into going out on the lake with me on that Saturday. And so we both skipped. I take full blame. I convinced her to do that. While we was out there on the lake, I had driven boats a long time. I mean, I was very able to do that, was out there, and whatever happened, there was a big, huge boat come by and turned a big wave our way, and when it did, I was going maybe a little faster than I should have been, but anyway, I hit that, and it put us on our side, almost turned the boat completely over, capsized. Well, it didn't turn the boat completely over, but it turned it over far enough that we both fell out. So we're out of the boat. And God allowed one life jacket to fall out, and that fell right next to her. He said to me, it's your fault, you swim on your own. I could hear him telling me that when I was swimming. I was concerned about her because I knew she couldn't swim, but the one life jacket fell out next to her. I look up, I've got the throttle in my hand because I tried to throttle back, and the force of me throttling back broke it off in my hand. I've got the throttle in my hand. And the boat now, because I turned it, and I pulled it back just enough to where it started circling us. No one in it. No one in the boat, and the boat was now circling the both of us in the water. I had heard afterwards, the guy there at the dock said, you know, that same thing happened
just a month or so ago, and the guy was actually run over by the boat. It killed him. It was a death there at Lake Cataracts where it was at. And I knew that it was a dangerous situation. We were there, and the boat was circling, and it kept getting closer. And I'm thinking, what are we going to do? And I start looking to the one that I knew could rescue us. And lo and behold, this fisherman's boat come out. He had seen what had happened. Two middle-aged fishermen that went out there not to catch fish, but they went out there to drink alcohol. They were both as drunk as they could be. And they come over and they rammed their boat into the side of our boat, and the one guy jumped onto it and pulled it back. And I thought, thank you, Lord, because I know that it's you have delivered us, but the source he used, two drunkards. When I was studying this, that story come to mind, and I thought, yeah, God, the last thing I would have thought, how you would rescue us would have been to use two drunks out on the lake. But I wasn't looking to the drunks that did it. I was looking to God. And he delivered us. God gets to choose. God can use whatever he determines. If we look back over our lives, you probably can remember a time when God has met a need, when God has protected, done something to provide, and used a source that you would have scratched your head over and said, I didn't see that coming. And you know, it wasn't the source, it was God. Elijah knew that it wasn't the raven that did this on its own. It's God. And enabled him to stay right there. As far as we know, for close to 3 years, being fed by a raven, drinking out of a brook. Now, as we need to bring this to an end, but verse 6, not only did he use supernatural means to provide food, God used a natural source to provide water. Because this brook, I believe, would have been the last place to dry up. While he was judging the land, and can you imagine now, for almost 3 years, no dew nor rain. They had, long time ago, went through all the water supply they had. And the only water they could do is go out far enough to where they didn't have this judgment, but all the plants, all of the livestock was dying off, and they were in a drought and they were in trouble, as been predicted by God. It was judgment of God. But Elijah had the water. The food came and the water, no doubt, was just enough for every day. Just enough. Now, again, this is a period of time that God was keeping him at this brook because there was something even of greater importance, and we'll see in the life of Elijah on Mount Carmel, of greater importance that he still needed to accomplish. But he had to prepare himself for that great faith. And during that time, his faith was increased every time he'd see that raven. Not bring abundance, bring just enough. Twice a day. Just enough. Whenever he would come, it was just enough to sustain him. Sometimes we just barely get by. But later on in life, you're going to look back and say, what a learning experience. We learned to trust in the Lord, and God provided. There's times we go through like that, and only God knows the reason behind it. Elijah didn't know he would go to Mount Carmel. He didn't know that he would be used to call fire down from heaven. Didn't know that. He was just being obedient to what God revealed to him. Whew. That's powerful stuff. having food and raiment, the Bible says, let us therewith be content. If you know you're in God's will, food and raiment, our provision's been met, enough to be content. God was growing Elijah's faith. And then in verse 7, and we got to close here, it says, and it came to pass after a while, after God determined it, that the brook dried up. It was time for God to move Elijah. God knew exactly what he would do. God has his ways of accomplishing his work. And we just got to make sure that we're in touch with God's way of doing whatever it is that God's called us to do. As a husband, as a wife, as a father, as a church member, as a servant of God, it's critical that we know that we are in the will of God. If I could have every head bowed and every eye closed. What a great lesson from Elijah.